Our gospel lesson this morning is at the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark. It is the very first story that Jesus tells, or that Mark tells about Jesus' ministry. You know, a writer often uses the introduction to his book or to his writing as a way to introduce a theme or a subject that's going to come up later on. And I think that's what Mark is doing in this gospel. In our story today, Jesus had just called the disciples from their boats and from their nets. They walked away from their nets and followed Jesus. And they continued down the Sea of Galilee until they came to the first city, which was Capernaum, a city on the Sea of Galilee. It was Friday, apparently, Friday evening, the beginning of the Sabbath. And like good Jews, they went to Shabbat service, which happens every Friday evening, which is the beginning of the Sabbath day, the 24-hour day. And so Jesus and the disciples went into the synagogue to worship with the others there. It was a natural thing for them to do. They were good, faithful Jews, and that's what good, faithful Jews do on Friday evening, go to Shabbat. Jesus did not come to burn down the synagogue. Jesus came to renew the Jewish religion, so it was perfect that they went in. They came into the synagogue to take part in the liturgy. As they sat there, there were the old men with the long beards in the front, in the places of honor, sitting near the scrolls of the Old Testament, the Torah, the scrolls of the prophets. The scrolls were opened reverently, and the readings were given from the Torah, from the Law of Moses, and a reading from the prophets. These stories were deep and familiar to the people there. They were well loved and well known. They evoked deep memories of Moses and Isaiah and Jeremiah. They brought memories of the time when the Jewish people were back in the desert, when they were close to God in the temple, when they were in exile. And they sang the old hymns there in the synagogue, and they recited the prayers that were so familiar. And then the rabbi sat down. This rabbi was a scribe. He sat down in front there, as was a custom for the teacher to sit, maybe on a raised platform. This teacher was a scribe. He had a pinched face and a very severe expression, poor eyesight. And he began to preach. He said, "Now some of you, I notice, have got two knots in the tassels on your prayer shawls. And I want to tell you that's wrong. It says in the Bible, you can only have one knot in the tassels of your prayer shawl." And he went on and on and on, explaining how in the book of Leviticus it says you can only have one knot, and two knots is wrong. You could see the eyes begin to wander. A fly is buzzing somewhere in the synagogue, and everyone's watching the fly. No one cares about what the scribe is saying. It's the minutiae of the law. It's just legalistic miscellany. Well, finally, he ends his sermon, and the eyes turn to the visitors in the back. Jesus and the disciples. It's only polite and customary to ask the guests who have come to Shabbat to see if they have a word to say, a word from the Lord. And the disciples, of course, turn to Jesus, and Jesus gets up and goes to the front, and he sits down in the place of the teacher. And he begins to teach. Mark says he spoke with authority. But he doesn't say what Jesus said. So I wonder, what exactly was it that made Jesus speak with authority? How did the people understand Jesus' authority? Was it the tone of voice that he used? Was it commanding? Was it powerful? Was it deep and rich? Was it the nonverbal cues he gave off? Was it his posture, his gestures? Was it his physical presence that was so authoritative? Was it his argument? Was he persuasive? Did he give compelling reasons for his sermon? Or was it because he was very passionate and charismatic and mesmerizing in the way he spoke? Or did he dazzle them with his verbal ability and his speaking skills? Or was it the content of what he had to say? Was it the profoundness of it and the depth of his wisdom? Or was it the appropriateness of the word that he brought to them? Was it just fitting for them at that time? Just a perfect word for them in that place? His timing. Or was it his sense of being filled with God's Spirit and being present with the divine, the sense of holiness that he brought to it? Mark doesn't say what it was that gave him authority. I imagine it might have been some of those things, or maybe all of those things, that gave Jesus the authority that he spoke with that day. Mark says, "The people were amazed, for he taught as one with authority, and not as the scribes." Just then, Mark says, a man with an unclean spirit made a commotion and jumped up and said, "Jesus, what have you to do with me? Are you here to destroy me? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, and the spirit came out, and the man was healed. Well, if we had been there in that synagogue, we would have seen the difference between the teaching of the scribe and the teaching of Jesus. The scribe got no reaction from the people. It was just a humdrum, boring sermon. But Jesus got a reaction, a big reaction, when the unclean spirit confronted him. In other words, Jesus hit a raw nerve with his speaking. The unclean spirit was content and was happy as long as the scribe was talking, because it didn't confront him at all. But as soon as Jesus got up to speak, the unclean spirit was touched. He was threatened at a deep level, so he reacted. You know, they say there are two kinds of preaching that are hard to hear: bad preaching and good preaching. Bad preaching is hard to hear because it's boring. But good preaching can be hard to hear because it can touch a person at a deeper level, can expose our inner selves. And I think that Jesus' preaching that day was the second type. It touched a nerve. So what was it that Jesus said when he preached in that sermon? Mark says that Jesus came to Galilee preaching the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. So repent and believe in the good news." Was it something about the kingdom of God that he said? A few years ago, I met an elderly woman named Evelyn, lovely person. She was a widow of a Presbyterian minister. And back in the 60s, they lived in Georgia, where he was a minister of the church. And, of course, it was the time of civil rights movement, and desegregation was very controversial. And her husband had heard Martin Luther King speak, and he became convinced that he needed to say something. So he got up in front of his congregation and he said, "Segregation is evil and it needs to end." And he preached a sermon about that. After the service, one of the elder men of the congregation, very influential, came up to him and said, "As long as you are here, you will never again get a raise in your salary." And they were there 7 more years, and sure enough, never got a raise, not a dime. He touched a nerve. He got a reaction. You know, I think that Jesus just told the truth that day in the synagogue, and the man with the unclean spirit just couldn't handle the truth. And that's why he reacted so strongly. In the letter to the Hebrews, it says, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." You know, I think sometimes I'd probably rather listen to the scribe than to Jesus. At least the scribe is predictable, sort of comfortable, the same old, same old. But if I listen to Jesus, I might have to change my life. He's touched something deep inside me. Today is the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany. The Epiphany means the revealing or the manifestation of Jesus. And in these first paragraphs of Mark's Gospel, he reveals Jesus as a truth teller, a truth that provokes a reaction. And at the end of the story, Mark repeats the beginning of the story, which is, "The people were amazed and asked each other, 'What is this? A new teaching with authority.'" Well, if we're willing to listen to Jesus, to really listen, we shouldn't be surprised if we have a reaction, if we react to what he's saying. But that just might lead to a deeper healing and a deeper understanding for us. The other day, I went down in my basement to get something. Our house is 100 years old, and some of the posts are rough. And as I touched one of them, I got a splinter in my finger. And I couldn't get it out. It festered and it got red and sore. And finally, after a few days, I was able to work it out of my finger. And what a relief. It felt so much better. Well, sometimes that's just how the gospel works. Amen.